in our rotation. This is the next psalm. Hear the word of the Lord. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. The title of this psalm gives us very clear indication as to its setting. It was written in response to the sin that David had committed with Bathsheba, Uriah. The story, I trust, is a familiar one. David commits adultery with Bathsheba, has her husband killed, and then lives miserably in denial until confronted by God in the person of Nathan, the prophet. The encounter David has with Nathan can be found in 2 Samuel 12. And in this encounter, Nathan brings the full weight and grief of David's sin to bear upon him. David then had a response to make. He could have become quite angry at what Nathan had told him. He could have become sullen or withdrawn, lived in denial. Or he could have repented of his sin when confronted. The psalm is David's response to God's word. In these first 12 verses, although the division is somewhat arbitrary, David records his thoughts about the sinfulness of his sin. Now, prior to Nathan's visit, David was able to live with the adultery and murder. Perhaps he was a bit off edge. He wasn't himself, maybe angry, but he was able to live with the circumstances he was under. For some time, we don't know exactly how long. But however comfortable David was, God was eager to restore him to purity and to repentance and faith. And to this end, God's word burst on the scene. When David sees his action and his conduct in the light of God's word, he was brought very low. He, like Isaiah, was undone. Now David makes a plea for forgiveness, and this plea rests solely on the goodness and mercy of God. There isn't even a hint or a suggestion that he doesn't accept full responsibility for what he has done. Nowhere in the psalm do you see self-justification or a mitigating of the circumstances. He doesn't try to explain things, and he doesn't try to share the blame. But he admits that he alone bears the guilt before God. While it would be true that indeed Bathsheba bore some blame in the whole series, But David doesn't mention her as bearing the blame. It really doesn't matter whether or how much she was involved. For David realizes that he alone stands before God and he needs his relationship restored. One of the great impediments to forgiveness is a steadfast refusal to see our guilt clearly. We'd like other people to bear some of our guilt so that we don't have that weight upon us. But David's desire is for a heartfelt cleansing and for purity. In the second verse, he asks for it twice. He's not interested in something superficial. He wants to be washed clean. He wants to be washed in a thorough fashion. And in verse 4, he says something that might be taken a bit odd. He says, "Against you only have I sinned." Well, he had, after all, sinned against Bathsheba. He had certainly sinned against Uriah. He had sinned against the people in his own country. He had sinned against Joab by having him commit this act in his name. It could be argued that given David's royal position, that there wasn't anybody in Israel that he hadn't sinned against. And yet David reduces his sin to saying, "Against you and you only have I sinned." And what David is saying here is that the guilt and the burden of all of his sins is so great so as to make the offenses committed against others trivial in comparison. Well, how could it be trivial? What he did to Uriah was unconscionable. But however offended Uriah was, he was not the Holy One of Israel. God's glory and perfections are infinitely pure. And David realizes that all the treachery that he had committed against his own countrymen pale in comparison, however serious those consequences are, and they were serious. He lost his firstborn son through it. But he realizes, no matter how serious my sins are against others, the guilt I bear before God is even greater. In verses 7 through 12, David asks God to purge and to strengthen him. He asks for joy and gladness. You might be tempted to think this is just a bit much after defiling himself and Bathsheba and coldly killing her husband to cover the crime. David has the audacity to ask God for joy. What else does he ask for? How about steadfastness, gladness, and a rejoicing heart? Isn't this all just a bit much? Not at all. David's appeal for the blessings that he seeks doesn't rest upon his merits, but upon God's goodness. God promised to forgive the sins of his people and be bountiful in mercy. David is asking God to do what he has promised to do. In the last 7 verses, David declares what the fruit of repentance will look like, that he will sing and he will praise. In verse 14, David said he will sing of God's righteousness. And it struck me as a bit odd to declare that you will be singing of God's righteousness. Why did he pick righteousness as the attribute to praise God for? Why not the tender mercies and the loving kindness which were the original basis of his plea in the opening of this psalm? Well, God's righteousness is mentioned as an object of praise and adoration because without this righteousness, David and all of us fellow transgressors would be doomed. David needs more than just forgiveness. He needs a righteousness that will never stain, and only God can provide this. And why would God freely provide a righteousness? Because of his tender mercies and his loving kindness in the Lord Jesus Christ. David closes this psalm with a confession that worship, whether public or private, is unacceptable before God if our hearts are stained with sin. Only when we are clean might we worship the way God wants us to. Now, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David gave this psalm to the chief musician. It's a public psalm. He did so that we might be instructed. Well, what are we supposed to do? We should do as David did. We should plead for God's mercy, confess our whole guilt before him, and ask for forgiveness. We should seek a righteousness that will endure forever and then glorify God that He will do exactly as He has promised to do. Do you need joy and gladness? Steadfastness? Do you need forgiveness? They're all in this psalm. They're all here to be found. They are all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look for a righteousness that's not your own. And look for a forgiveness which you can never get through any inward cleansing. And look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will do as He has promised. Let's pray.